So those are actually all the announcements that I have for you guys this morning. Pastor Bill will be coming up to start week two of our Get Up and Walk series. Thank you.
Happy Easter! Wait. You haven't picked out your Easter outfit yet? And I see some of you are confused. Like, I know they move it every year, but this seems early. Wait a minute. Is there an egg hunt today? No, there's not. It's not Easter. And don't panic. You haven't missed Easter yet. Not this year. You've got plenty of time. Although our staff has already been planning for Easter for weeks now and the preparation. But did you know that historically, throughout Christianity, there's an advance season of preparation for Easter? That there's a time to begin preparing your heart for celebration. And it's way more than getting that right dress and Easter bonnet. It's much more than getting that cool sports coat and that perfect spring tie that's going to go with it and make everything pop. No, it is the time that we get our heart right to celebrate the most important thing that ever happened in the world. It's a time when we can prepare ourselves for the most important historical event that ever happened in the foundation of our faith, and that is, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, don't worry, not only have you not missed Easter, you haven't missed this season of preparation that is right here before us. Now, that is because this week, I decided to work with the rhythm of the calendar rather than work against it. You see, last week, I launched a high-impact series that I was so excited for everyone to get involved with on a holiday weekend. My bad. Sorry about that. I know a lot of you guys were traveling. However, if you missed that, a really cool experience happened. You should go back and check that out on the video or podcast. But fret not, because I believe God has something really great for us today too. And as I said, this time we've worked with the rhythm of the calendar rather than against the rhythm of the calendar. And I'm having problems with my technology. So we're going to talk about technology and all the problems that caused, and that wasn't intentional. That's next week, by the way. But going back to this idea of working with the rhythm of the calendar, and that is dealing with Lent. Lent begins this Wednesday. You guys all know that? Okay, if you don't know, now you know. And this is not today a message about Lent, but it is the perfect opportunity to leverage the season of Lent to practice the first specific spiritual discipline that we're going to talk about in this series. You see, the series we're in is called Get Up and Walk. It's where we're getting serious. It's kind of like it's not quite spring yet, but we're in spring training of the soul. We're really getting serious about this thing. The idea of the series, as we set up last week, is when it comes to spiritual growth, there's a partnership with you and God. There is the part that only God can do, and as he changes our heart and changes our lives, and yet there is also the part and the responsibility that we need to play. And so today, having established that last week, we're going into the first specific spiritual discipline. And what we're talking about today has the potential, if we seriously seek God, to experience breakthrough in our lives like never before. Do you want breakthrough in your life? Like serious breakthrough. I'm not talking about like, oh, I want God to do a special little thing and get the Jesus tingles and go home. Right? That's my daughter's phrase. I got to give her credit for that. She kind of came up with that. But we're talking about more than the Jesus tingles. We're talking about breakthrough. Do you need breakthrough in your life? Maybe to break a habit that has been persistent in your life. Do you need God to break through your life to give you guidance and direction? Do you need breakthrough in your life so you can experience relational reconciliation and healing with somebody where things have just gone all wrong? Do you need breakthrough in your life to experience self-control? Or just to experience a greater intimacy with God? And if that's the case, then I would say it is a very good thing that you're here today. Because today, we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of fasting. And a few of you are thinking, oh man, I wish I had accepted that brunch invitation. And here's what I want to say to you, that's your stomach talking. This is the part where you can participate. Go ahead and tell your stomach, shut up. It's church. Shut up, stomach, right? And pay attention, because our stomach talks sometimes louder than other parts of us. And see, fasting is absolutely part of the mix. If you want to go to the next level in your spiritual walk with God, and especially if you feel like you've hit a wall, then this is an opportunity to break through. Because listen, in life, to get to where you've never been, you're going to have to take some steps that you've never taken. And that's true in any area of life, isn't it? When we think about life, if we want to break through, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at this spiritual discipline of fasting. And for many of us, it's a foreign thing, or we know of it. We don't really know. We all know, oh, my grandma, she's a holy woman. She used to fast, right? But we don't want to ride on the forefathers and the previous women and men of faith. We want to see and experience God in a breakthrough way in our generation, in our time. So today we're going to talk about what fasting is, how to do it, why to do it. And we're going to look at some example and instruction that Jesus gave. After all, he's the one we're going after, so we're going to learn from him. And then we're going to consider how we can leverage this season of Lent to either start a new fast, or maybe for some of us, fast for the very first time. And we're going to take a step today that I'm going to encourage all of you to take. And again, we're talking about growing in Jesus. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. It's the first book in the New Testament. If you don't have your Bible with you, it's cool. It'll be on either one of the screens. But let's go to him and learn as we watch him practice this spiritual discipline. Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, and if you have your Bible, you should underline this. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Did you notice that Jesus didn't enter the wilderness by accident? It wasn't like his navigation system failed him. He's like, oh man, how did I end up here in the wilderness? No, it was intentional. The Spirit led him into this place. It was God's Spirit. And it happened on the heels of him just having, in the previous chapter, been baptized and publicly given approval by God. Remember that God speaks from heavens, "This is my Son whom I love and in whom I am well pleased." And that's the verse we read. You know, the whole word of God is inspired, but the numbers, like the chapters and verses, those aren't inspired. That was added later just so we could find things. So you know that. So sometimes we don't want to break things up. But that's the context is God gives his public approval. And then he says, "Jesus, I love him. I approve of them." And then Jesus is ready to launch his public ministry after the baptism and approval. And yet God's Spirit first leads him to the desert to be tempted by the devil. You ever wonder, why go through that? I mean, he's Jesus. He's perfect. He's fully God and he's fully man. Of course he's going to pass the test. Why do that? Well, I think Hebrews gives us some insight about Jesus, gives a lot of insight, but this verse, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin." You see, this is all about effective ministry. How many people know that it is more effective? I mean, anyone can pray for us and talk to us, but when you're talking to someone that's been through what you've been through, Don't you feel like it's easier to trust, easier to hope? Because I want to listen to what you're saying, because I know you know something about this. Know that every temptation, Jesus went through it all so he can empathize with us, and we should turn to him in temptation. Now, Matthew 4 actually talks about three temptations that Jesus overcame. We're only going to look at that one, and we're not even looking at that with the aim of how to overcome temptation, but rather with the idea of our focus for today, how we can experience breakthrough in our spiritual lives through fasting. So the first kind of big idea that we're looking at today is that fasting helps you control your appetites. Now some of you are thinking, aren't there pills for that? That's not what we're talking about at all. See, notice this. God's Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, but Jesus chose to fast. Do you see the balance there? We talked about this last week, that there is a direction and a power that can only come from God, and we need to follow his leadership as he wants to grow us in him. But our part is to then take some steps and respond to his leading in his power. We need to exercise our faith and practice the spiritual disciplines. And this is one of them. And listen, there's many different ways that you can fast, and we're going to talk about those things, but Jesus chose to fast for 40 days. Can you imagine after 40 days how physically weak you would feel? I mean, some of you are like, man, if I fast for too long throughout the day, I feel weak, right? But Jesus, for 40 days, and you can only imagine that his body would have loved some food, in fact, was crying out for food, and if that isn't enough, he's got the devil himself whispering in his ears and trying to tempt him, like, come on, man, it's not even a sin. Just take that stone and at your command, turn that into a hot, steaming loaf of bread. I've got butter. You know, so it's like, I just made that up. That's just like creative license, like looking in your Bible. But the point is, like, the devil always trying to sweeten the deal. He's always trying to make it a little bit more tempting for us and trying to push us to do the wrong thing. And so in that moment, we see Jesus being tempted. But also notice this, Jesus wasn't even tempted in a sinful appetite. It wasn't like, hey, go do some crazy wicked thing. It's just, feed your flesh. You got to eat, right? And we just go ahead and take care of that. However, it was a normal natural appetite, but one that Jesus was temporarily denying. You see, Jesus tells us that there are greater appetites than even food in life. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus used scripture to refute the temptation to do the wrong thing. And no, he didn't have like a Bible back then that they'd carry around. He didn't have a Bible app or any of that. That means that Jesus at some point in his life had taken the time to memorize and meditate and put God's word in his heart so that he could carry it with him wherever he went. Why did Jesus do that? Because he knew that was his life. This was everything he needed for sustenance. Yes, I get we need food. We need water for physical survival. But physical sustenance is not all we need in this life. There's more. And Jesus says we don't only need food. We need soul food. We need spiritual food. We need every word that comes from the mouth of God. But our problem is, it's so easy for us to be concerned with physical appetites in life that we never actually cultivate and develop this spiritual appetite. And because we haven't done that and we don't hunger for these things the way that we hunger for food, then we don't end up feeding our spirit with the same commitment, intentionality, and regularity that we feed our bodies. And so our spiritual appetites get overshadowed by all of our other appetites. And fasting helps you control your appetites as you put your certain appetites in their place. By intentionally saying no for a season to your physical appetites, you can awaken, strengthen, and feed your spiritual appetites. Do you see how valuable this is? Have you ever sat down maybe to pray and it feels more like a chore? Be honest. You're talking to God and it feels like a responsibility. Or you sat down to read your Bible and it feels like a checklist. Okay, got that done. We're gonna kick into some productivity today. And maybe we treat it that way because we haven't fully awakened your spiritual appetite sufficiently to where we can say, God, I need you. I want you today. My life will not go well without you today. God, I need every single part of you. I need every word that comes from the mouth of God just as much as I want to devour that plate of chicken and waffles. Right? I want that. And it's like, you think about that. I'm intentionally juxtaposing our physical appetites with our spiritual appetites and saying something should change. Now, question, can you actually change your appetite? You definitely can. Yes, you definitely can. Now, my wife, Rebecca, and I have done the Whole 30 several times. Anyone here would own up to doing the Whole 30 tonight? Okay, there's a decent number of you guys that have done it. By the way, Whole 30 is not a spiritual thing. It's like an elimination diet where for physical reasons, you fast from pretty much anything good. That's how you feel when you're on it. Like no bread, no dairy, no sugar, no nuts. And it's like all kinds of things. Well, what happens is after 30 days of doing that, you slowly add back one at a time and you can discover what your body reacts to and maybe allergies that you might have. But we were doing that. And in this process, we learned some things that were new, but something very unexpected happened. It actually changed our appetites and translated in a permanent way. For example, I learned that a sandwich doesn't always need cheese. Did you know that? Crazy thing. A few slices of avocado make a nice, delicious, healthy fat, right? And I learned that. I also learned that a hamburger or a hot dog does not require a bun. What? Now, we do that now, just regular, permanently change the way that we eat. And so when people come over, we don't think twice, and then they're weird. People are looking around for the buns and stuff, and we're like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. And so we've just become part of us, and adding fruit and vegetables and all these things, it just permanently changed the way that we eat. It changed our appetites. Now, this is also true when you think about a temporary fast changing our permanent appetites. This can happen spiritually too, when we fast as a spiritual discipline. Now, it's important here to define fasting. Fasting is not thinking, man, you know, I want to get my summer bod, so I'm going to go on a diet, and hey, God, we're going to call this a fast. Do I get credit for that? That's not at all what we're talking about. It's the idea of giving up and saying no to certain appetites so that we can begin to cultivate this hunger for God. And so here's a working definition of fasting that you can use. It's on your outline. Fasting is saying no for a season to something you want or need to pursue God for something he has for you or others. Now that's a mouthful, but I think it'll make more sense as we kind of go back to this throughout there. And understand this, your body is not an enemy. It's a gift from God. The problem is your body's appetites can get out of whack. You see, your body should be directed by the Holy Spirit of God for his purposes and what he wants to do in your life. But too often, our body and our bodily appetites are driving everything in our lives, taking every single part of us captive, including our souls, for whatever it desires. But fasting helps you break that. Fasting puts a stop. It says no to your body and puts it in check. It tells your body, I'm standing up to you today, and I'm saying no. You do not control me. You're not in charge of me. And listen, if your appetites are controlling your life, then it's time for breakthrough. And fasting is something you can do to get a hold of your, and control your physical, mental, emotional appetites in order to let God awaken, strengthen, and satisfy your spiritual appetites. But you see, controlling your appetite's only part of it. Fasting also helps you seriously seek God. Last week, we considered a probing question that Jesus asked a man that was lame, who had been that way for a long, long time. Jesus went up to this man and said, "Do you want to get well?" And if you recall, Jesus challenged him to consider his desires with that statement. In the same way, we began to examine ours. And today, I want you to consider this afresh. Do you really want to seek God for a breakthrough in your life? Do you want to go beyond talk? And that's some searching that you have to do in your heart and in your mind with God. But if the answer is yes, then we have to get up and walk and move in God's direction. And fasting is a good and intense way to do that. You see, we see with Jesus that in the passage, he did this. He fasted for 40 days. We also see that Moses, by the way, that was the verse that Jesus quoted. Moses also did that. When Moses went up on the mountain to encounter God and receive the Ten Commandments, he also sought God during a 40-day fast. And by the way, Lent is about a 40-day period to help you seek God that historically begins with identifying with Jesus in the wilderness, but also identifying with Jesus in self-denial. And it kind of, as you go through the journey, you continue on with him, and it eventually culminates with the celebration of the resurrection. Now, some of you are thinking already, I know this, 40 days. That's crazy. I mean, I'm no Moses. And I'm no Jesus. I have enough trouble fasting in between meals. I want to put you at ease, but I want to lower the tension before we raise it again and say this. Nobody here is asking you to not eat food for 40 days. Whew. All right, well, okay, but we're going to come back to this. I get it. Fasting is a tough thing, but know this. Jesus made fasting normative. Did you know that? It's not something that's crazy. Jesus made a normal thing. Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, "When you fast, not if you fast." It's just like the other things he said. Jesus said, "When you pray," and gave instructions, "not if you pray." Jesus said, "When you give, not if you give." "When you fast, not if you fast." These were all to be normative parts of the life of the follower of Jesus. But then Jesus went on to warn of fasting for a show or hypocritical reasons. But don't miss the implication. Fasting is not an extreme sport for super Christians. Because we tend to write that off. Fasting is a spiritual discipline for serious Christians. Fasting helps you seek God for serious things. Again, in what area do you need some serious breakthrough? I want to consider just a couple of the fasts that people have done throughout Scripture. Your homework will be to look up more. But consider this. There are those in Scripture that sought God and fasted for protection. Do you need some protection in your life? We see that in Ezra 8:21-23. There was a dangerous journey ahead, and he and the people fasted for God's protection. Maybe you need to fast for repentance. See, remember repentance, it sounds like this awful word, but really it means changing your mind, moving from maybe things that are sinful or controlling you and turning in God's direction, taking a step and walking his way. And many people, we see it in Joel 2:12-15, a group of people fasted for repentance and that gave way to vision. We see Jonah 3:5-9, Jonah came and unwillingly, by the way, warned the wicked Assyrian people that you need to repent and or God's going to destroy you. And they said they got serious and so they fasted and said, maybe God will hear us. And God did hear and gave mercy. We also see that in Daniel 9:3-19. By the way, you should read that. It's an amazing prayer and fast of Daniel's. But it was on behalf of their nation. Because Daniel was actually pretty good at doing the right thing. But did you know that when you fast and when you intercede, it doesn't always have to be on your own behalf? You can do this for other people. We could do this together. And Esther. Oh, Esther's awesome. I love Esther. She fasted for strength. You see that in Esther 4:16? You see, Esther was tasked with this difficult, life-threatening assignment to save her people. She knew that she felt and sensed that God was calling her to do this, but she knew it could mean her life. So to prepare herself, she and those that she enlisted fasted for 3 days beforehand. And she knew that maybe she was born for a time such as this, but she knew she needed God's strength for a time such as this. Also, you can fast for guidance and revelation. We see that in Acts 13:1-3. Also see that in Judges 20:26-27. But for guidance, you see a group of people were worshiping God and they were fasting. And that is the time in that heightened spiritual state that God's guidance and commission came through to pray for Paul and Barnabas and the mission trips that are ahead. And again, I did some for you, but I encourage you, go through the Bible and see how God's people experienced breakthrough in their lives when they got serious about fasting. Again, where do you need breakthrough? Do you need some breakthrough to change your appetites? Do you need some breakthrough for protection in your life, for repentance in your life? Do you need breakthrough in your broader community that you're part of? Do you need breakthrough for vision, for revelation, for strength, for guidance, or more? Think about that. But know this, fasting is not a magic formula that makes God beholden to do the things you want him to do. Let's just set that up right away. Instead, first of all, because by the way, you remember, you want to see another example of a fast. David fasted to escape the consequences of a sin. God said, no thanks. Yeah, you're still going to have that happen. And so it doesn't mean when we fast, it's a magic formula, but it is a spiritual discipline that invites God to work in a big way. Now, I want you to take a moment and I want you to think, you're not even committing to fast yet. You're not even committing to think of what you would fast from, but I want you to think, what could you fast for? What might you really want to seek God about in your life? Or maybe the life of your church, community, your country, the world. Take a moment. Think about it. You see, fasting helps you seek God for serious things, and fasting helps you seek God in a serious way. The truth of the matter is sometimes we're not seeking God in a serious way. We're kind of just fooling around. We're just kind of playing around. But fasting helps you, again, seek God in a serious way. And let's be honest about the reason we don't fast. It's because it's hard. It's difficult. And yes, of course it's supposed to be hard. That's why it's called a spiritual discipline, not a spiritual indulgence. And honestly, I would say this, one of the most direct ways that we can answer Jesus' call, his basic call to discipleship. Jesus said this in Matthew 16. And then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? See, fasting is about denying yourself so that you can follow Jesus. You can walk with him and seek after him in a serious way, in the way that he himself modeled. And yes, this is going to cost you something. And yes, it's hard to deny yourself, but Jesus uses the comparison to say, whatever it is that you'd be giving up, is it worth more than the condition of your soul? Is it worth more than you being deeply connected to God? And listen, when you deny yourself in order to pursue God for something he has for you, it will be difficult. But it's always worth it in the end. And you don't have to take my word for it. Go ahead and take it from this guy that you may have heard of. Volume.
Actor went on Instagram on Wednesday to explain his commitment to the Daniel Fast. It's 3 weeks of restricted eating and a focus on prayer. Here's what he had to say.
Okay, hi, Chris Pratt here. Day 3 of the Daniel Fast. Check it out. It's 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's going to coincide also, coincidentally, with the Lego Movie 2 junket. So by the time you see me, I'll probably be hallucinating. Stay tuned.
We talked about this before when you're on here, and many people who are in the superhero movies, I don't want to say, like, how'd you get in the buff shape and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But you've taken it a step further. You've taken it beyond just lifting weights and, like, you know, and lean meats to something called the Daniel Fast.
Yes.
What is the Daniel Fast?
This is something I did just in this year. I just came off it a couple days ago. It's a 21-day fast. That's kind of, a lot of people are doing it. I did it through my church. It's based on Daniel.
The book of Daniel?
The book of Daniel.
The prophet Daniel.
From the book of, yeah, from the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. He was a guy who, only ate fruits and vegetables and grains and didn't have any leavened breads and didn't have any animal products. And so I was inspired by my pastor. We do it. It's kind of like our Lent, you know, give something up. And so for 21 days, I had no meat, no sugar, no alcohol. And it was actually amazing. It was really cool.
Now, I'm not promoting or knocking the Daniel Fast. That's fine. But what I want you to see is, do you see how in the beginning it was hard? And if you kind of watch some of the other rest of the video, you can see it was super difficult. But in the end, did you see how he's like, hey, it was amazing. It was super cool. So I wanted you to see it was hard in the beginning, but worth it in the end. I think the other thing that's worth highlighting is he listened to his pastor. Yay, Chris Pratt. Yay. Okay. But more than listening to your pastor... Okay, that was a cheap shot. I was saying, more than listening to your pastor, I want you to listen to God. I want you to listen to God. Is he awakening something in you today? Is there a desire for intimacy with him that he wants you to experience? A true desire for breakthrough. And if God is doing that, and I understand there's still like a lot of things I don't know about, then what I want you to do is invite God to work in your life and then take a step and follow that. And so if that's happening, then maybe it's time for a fast. Well, how in the world would I do that? I'm so glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about as our final move, and that is fasting is about removing and replacing. One of the biggest misconceptions that people have about spiritual fasts is that it's only about denying an appetite. How many times do you hear this? Hey, what are you giving up for Lent? See, that's only half of it. Fasting is about removing and replacing. It's about denying one appetite and then stimulating and feeding another. And Lent is the perfect season for you to start a new fast, or again, maybe start a fast for the very first time. Now, I know for some of you, maybe you've been around Protestant church for a while. I know for years, for me, when someone would mention Lent, I'd be like, oh, that's for the Catholics. And I kind of disregarded it. But by the way, I was baptized Catholic, so there's some roots there. But nonetheless, as I began years and years ago to explore what it is more and engage with it, I have found Lent to be not a rote religious experience, but a vibrant spiritual part of my life that really helps me grow closer to Jesus. And by the way, Lent is practiced by many different types of Christians, including our Catholic friends, but lots of Protestants also practice this. And it's so timely because Lent begins this Wednesday and it concludes on Easter, much like a fast would begin this Wednesday and conclude on Easter. And again, it's centered on fasting from something that is a sacrifice for you so that you can prepare your heart for Easter and draw closer to him over this season. So here's what, I'm just going to tell you, you just ask for what you want. I want you to participate. If you're here today, I want you to be a part. I'm not here to direct and tell you how to do it, but my hope, my prayer has been that the whole church would consider this today. Now, our why may be slightly different. I've asked you what you would consider fasting for, and yes, that may be something that you'd do on your own as you consider what area you need a breakthrough. By the way, you can fast for more than one thing. Did you know that? You can fast from more than one thing, but you can also fast for more than one thing. Maybe what you would do is you consider your own life. Maybe you'd consider the life of your church. Maybe, what wouldn't it be cool if a bunch of us fasted and said, God, would this be the year you help us get our home, our future church home? So we can kind of move into that journey. Yeah, amen for that. God, would this be the year that you help us implement a lot of this Vision 2020 stuff that we said so we can reach a whole lot of people that are far from Jesus, that are dying and going to hell every day, and we want to do something about that? Would this be an opportunity in a season where you would, maybe you could also fast for a great strength, health, intimacy, unity in our church body that we might come together around him? So as you fast, think about what you would fast for. Now, once you've got your why, then you can go to your what. What are you removing? Let's talk about removing and maybe what you could fast for Lent. Here's the thing. You should definitely ask God what he may want you to fast from, but here is your first clue. It should be a sacrifice. For example, if I were to stand before you and declare that this Lent, I will be fasting from celery, country music, and reality TV shows. That's disingenuous because I fast from those every day. So like I'm walking in victory in Jesus. But for you, those might be some difficult things to fast from. But let's consider some other things that you would fast from. How about sugar and or dessert? How about alcohol? How about buying coffee out? Do you know they came out with these brand new things where you can make it at home? And revolutionary, and it saves you tons of money. And what if instead of doing that, you took all that money you saved and gave it to missions? Like Jen Hilton going to France, by the way. By the way, come hang out with me and her. Me and my wife are going to be there hanging out with Jen today. I want you to come and hang out with us and learn what she's doing. She's doing some cool things. But that could be one way you could give up buying coffee out. Or how about this for a crazy one? How about giving up coffee altogether? I'm making myself upset with that one, I feel conflicted. What about social media, TV, video games? What about screen time? What about this ball and chain in our pocket that we carry everywhere we go? And I would say for most of us, at a cost to our spiritual life. Ooh, that's rough. Come back next week. We got a lot more about that. But what if you took a day every week and put it aside and turned the stinking thing off? What would happen? Maybe you could find out. What about radio, political shows, sports shows? Am I touching any nerves yet? What about something you would never give up? How about an unhealthy appetite that you've been feeding? And think about that. Or here's this crazy one I have. Actual food. What if you fasted? You see, I was talking to a few staff members, and one of them said, you know, it's funny because we always talk about fasting and we always talk about giving up all this stuff, but as you read the scriptures, it's always food that they're giving up. So we could actually give up food and do what the Bible talks about. By the way, we also strategically time pizza with the pastor. You can get all, Fat Tuesday could be Fat Sunday today. If you're newer, come over, get some pizza with us and hang out and enjoy because we haven't started the process yet. But food, you see, food is something that's really hard to give up. But again, it's not supposed to be easy. And by the way, special note, especially if you've never fasted before, please don't try to fast for 40 days because I know there's the zealots among us that are like, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm just going to give it up. And you should get clearance from your doctor and direction from God before you try to do anything. But if you've never fasted, maybe give up a few meals, try for a day at a time, try for maybe 3 days at a time, and drink lots of water. Be healthy about it. But maybe you could do something more intermittent. Maybe you could do intermittent fasting. It doesn't have to be, maybe you could do like something like the Daniel fast. You could look it up. Or instead of the Daniel fast, you could do the Nicholas fast. I'm talking about our very own Pastor Nicholas. You know, he does a fast where every single day, he doesn't eat lunch. Now, here's the truth about it. It's not really a God thing. It's kind of an odd thing. He just doesn't eat lunch. But I feel like if I were him, but you can give up lunch every single day and say, hey, and borrow that and just say, do it for the purpose of God, I want to seek you. It could be an intermittent fast where you give up a meal, one meal a day. You could give up each week, you could give up a certain number of meals and then kind of work accordingly. As we said earlier, to get to where you've never been before, you need to take some steps that you've never taken. What happens when you get hungry? You don't give in. You turn to God. You know, and if the devil is there on your shoulder, and even though you don't have the power to turn stones into bread, you've got a debit card. Instead, you do what Jesus did with the temptation. You quote scripture. You live off of that and you resist and you turn to Jesus who was tempted in every way like we were but didn't give in and you ask for help and maybe you even pray a prayer like this, God, I feel those hunger pangs inside. Would you help me to hunger for you the way I'm hungering for this thing that my body wants? But you know, there's another big help. And that is, you shouldn't just remove things from your life. Fasting is also a time to replace. It's a time to add something to fill the void, one that will change your appetites and support the why of your fast. Jesus said, you shall live not by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So replacing, put spiritual things in place of the physical things that you are fasting from. You see, again, fasting isn't just skipping a meal. So you say, oh, good, I get more work done. Fasting is not just skipping a meal and then torturing yourself by watching the Food Network or like cooking shows or please don't do this. Like, hey, I want to meet you for lunch? Yeah. And then you go there. What do you want? Water? Like, hey, you got any order? Like, no, don't torture yourself, right? Be smart about these things and figure it out. But the idea is remove the thing that you're fasting from and then replace it with something better. Replace what you are removing with prayer. Take the time and read the Bible. Take the time to figure out what other spiritual disciplines that we're going to be talking about in this series that you can do. And whatever it is that you can feed your soul. And I have a great idea for you on what you can replace with today. Here is my invitation today to all of you. Can we do this together? Can we make this an experience where we all, maybe yes, on our own, we figure out the why we're fasting and what God would have us, the reason for that, and we figure out the what we're fasting, but can we replace together? You see, I went and found on the YouVersion app a Bible reading plan. He says just after he rebukes all of us, including himself, for the use of technology. I feel like God would give us a pass for this one. But I found an app. Well, I mean, I know the app, but I found a Lent plan. It's a really good devotion where every day it has a devotion about Lent and it has a few scriptures that you could turn to and guide you through this Lent season. And by doing a group plan, then we are replacing and adding some spiritual things together as a community, and we can invite God to work together through us. So this isn't a solo thing, but it is like a group training. And we did that last cycle, the 21 days of prayer, and we did some fasting with that. And what I really loved was reading all your comments, how God was showing up through you on that. And I would say that was cool, but I want to go to the next level on this one. I would love to see all of you do. I would love to see hundreds of people doing this. Wouldn't it be cool that if we were all going through the same thing, learning the same thing, so when we got together, we could discuss what is God doing in your life through this? I so want to encourage you to participate in this. Now, in a minute, the ushers are going to come forward and greeters, and they're going to receive our tithes, offerings, and connection cards. And by the way, for all of you that give and tithe, let me just say thank you, because that's a version of what we're talking about today. You're removing a certain portion of what would be lifestyle, and instead you're replacing that with worship as you offer it to God, and that's exactly what that is. So thank you so much for doing that. But before they do, please, what I want to encourage you to do is if you have your worship programs, go ahead and take out your bulletins. I know I have one, someone here. We're going to receive your tithes, offerings, and connection cards. But inside your worship program, would you go ahead and tear this portion out now? If you haven't filled it out, go ahead and fill it out. But on the back, you can see I marked mine. It says on the side, couple up from the bottom, Lent Bible reading plan. If you want to go through this together with me and the rest of the church, mark that off and we'll send you a link and we'll send you some instructions. And all of this will begin on Wednesday when we do the fast. Again, wouldn't that be so cool to experience spiritual breakthrough together as a church, as a family, as a community, to see some God do some things of unification and growth in us? Then let's commit together on this. This week, I'm asking you to do something bold again. I'm asking you to take a spiritual step. You see, when the ushers and greeters come forward, they're going to receive our tithes and offerings and connection cards, but they're also going to give you a card. When you get the card, I do not want you to write your name on the card. This is private. But I want you to write two things on the card. You can write, first of all, four. What are you fasting for? What do you want to do, God to do in your life and the life of this church? The other thing you can write is from. What are you going to give up in place of that? What are you going to release to God? What thing are you going to let go of? And it could be a couple of things that you want to write down. But what are you fasting for, and what are you fasting from? And if you need more time, again, Lent doesn't start till Wednesday, but I'd love for you to go ahead and write down whatever you have shortly. And here's what's going to happen. After we do that, you're going to take those cards after you've written them down, and there's a receptacle on either side. You're going to see a clear box, one over here and one on the other side. And again, you're not writing your name. You can take it and fold it so no one sees what you're writing and put it in there. And I've got mine, and I'm going to place it in there. And the way this is going to work, in a moment, we'll do one last song of worship. And recognizing that this is an act of worship for God that we're doing as a community, we're going to come forward during that song and do this. And some of you are thinking, man, didn't we just come forward last week? The series is called Get Up and Walk. What did you think we're going to do? Right? I am going to push you this series because God has something for you. And he's going to take us places we've never been before. But we're going to have to be bold. We're going to have to take some next steps. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. We're going to have to get up and walk. And so this is a practical opportunity where we can take a step and get serious with God. So hospitality team, greeters, ushers, please come forward right now, and they're going to receive the tithes, offerings, and connection cards. Now, practically speaking, they're also going to hand out a card. When you get a card, please take one and hand them down to everybody else because they can't get to everywhere in the middle. Now, during this time, as you're handing in your tithes, offerings, and connection cards, and as you're getting one of these index cards, I want you to take some time and be reflective. I want you to think what God might have you to fast for today. What's your purpose? What's the reason that you're doing it? And then I want you to think, what is it that he would have you fast from? What is it that God would have you put aside for a season so that you can get real serious with him? Go ahead and take that time and think about it. And in a moment, we're going to come forward. What we're going to do is in a moment, I'm going to say a prayer with you. And I'm going to ask everybody here, whether it's your first time maybe praying a prayer to dedicate your life to Jesus, or whether it's like your millionth time and you're re-upping to him today, I'm going to ask everybody to say this prayer out loud. And then again, what we're going to do is continuing in an attitude of prayer and continuing in a spirit of worship. When you're ready, you're going to come forward and you're going to place your card inside one of these boxes. And the point is, you're doing this for God. You're offering this to God. And I want you to dream as we go through this. What might God want to do in you? What breakthrough might he have for us? What might God change inside of our lives if we really seek Him for breakthrough in a fresh way. I want you to dare to dream and then seek God for these things with everything that you have. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads in an attitude of prayer? And again, if this is a time where you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or if you want to just recommit yourself to Him today and commit yourself to what He's doing, then I just want to ask everybody here, just pray this prayer out loud. Just say, Jesus, You denied Yourself to save my life. Help me deny myself to follow You. You gave Your life for mine on the cross. Help me take up my cross and give my life back to You every day. In this next season, I want to give up some things because I want more of You and whatever You have for me. God, please awaken my appetite for You and spiritual things. And give me the strength to follow through with whatever it is. To remove and replace. Forgive me for all my sins. Please give me a fresh start today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for all of us. God, thank You so much for those that made commitments. And I pray for maybe some for the first time today that gave their life to You, that that would be just an amazing experience as they journey forward. And for those of us today, God, give us the courage to take those steps with You and move forward and do whatever it is You're asking us to do for the reasons You're asking us to do it. We know we can't do it apart from You, so give us strength. God, would You change, energize, and awaken us some new things. And thank You for this in Jesus' name. Now, before we get ready to sing that last song, if you're here today right after service, and if you need some prayer, just head over there. There's going to be men and women that will pray for you. Maybe you need strength to fast. You need to know what to fast from. Go ahead and do that. And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time and committed your life to Jesus today, as you leave the auditorium, I want you to make a left and at the guest center, please come tell myself or someone else, I prayed that prayer for the first time today. We'd love to give you a Bible and put some things in your hand that will really help you get started on this spiritual journey. But now at this time, I'm going to ask the band, would you lead us in one final worship song? Everybody, would you stand? Would you just join me in a word of song? And at this time, when you feel ready during this song at whatever time, would you take your card and offer it to God? God bless you.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering.